This is X-Ray FM, radio is yours. You are listening to Talk to the Hand, and I am with DJ Cliff. DJ Cliff, thank you so much for letting me interview you today.
Thank you for interviewing me today.
We are sat in Benchmark PDX.
Yes.
What is this place? It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing space. Black-owned business that supports Black-owned businesses. Benchmark has been here for, I think, 3 years. And has connected with so many different members of the community. They do art installations. They have an amazing art installation going on right now. Bobito, who is people from who are fans of independent radio, specifically independent hip hop, may know him from Bobito or the Stretch and Bob show from back in the day. He's also an amazing historian of basketball. So that combination of basketball and music is both represented in the art installation that's happening right now. Benchmark has also done a lot of work to support and promote the 8 Second Rodeo, that Black Rodeo that comes to Portland. And it's just a cool place, just a cool vibe to just come and hang out. DJ Ambush is spinning a vinyl set right now. They have a thing going on every other Sunday, Wax and Relax. We can just come through and just chill. And I had an opportunity to do interviews with two of the three owners, Robbo and Ben, and got a chance to get a little bit of the history of Benchmark. So listeners can go listen to those episodes of Cliff Notes and get a lot of the behind-the-scenes stories.
So, Cliff, you're regarded as one of the kind of keystones of Portland in the hip-hop scene. You've been around for a long time, and I'm kind of curious, what got you interested and first involved in like an emergent scene from 1970s Bronx?
You know, I was born in the Northeast. I was born in Jersey. My childhood friend was Leo O'Brien. Leo is rest in peace, was the younger brother of Guy O'Brien, more famously known as Master G from the Sugar Hill Gang. So early on, I was introduced to the art form, just adjacently. And it's just, you know, it's just in my blood. And like a lot of kids, I think, from that, specifically from that region and from that era, getting into art in some form, you know, was a part of what we did, banging on the lunch tables in the lunchroom and rapping. And so it's always been a part of my DNA, I think. Early on, I worked to become, wanted to make a career out of it. And it just, you know, as I moved geographically to different locations, brought parts of that with me, went from being a creative to being a producer, to being a mentor. When the opportunity presented itself for me to be a curator of the art form, I had to take advantage of that. And so, you know, it's been many, many years now of doing just that part.
I got to be honest, Ambush is making it very difficult to concentrate doing this interview right now. He's playing some really, really good beats.
That's what we do. No doubt.
He's just, you know, he looks so kind of relaxed.
In the zone,
not even aware of the effect that he's having on everyone around him. I love that.
That's what a good DJ does.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, best Portland record store.
I love 503 Records. It's been a really great community spot. Some of the things that they have doing there in terms of open mics and inviting the youth in to really be a part of that. I was just over at Specs Records this weekend. Shout out to Mike over there, talking about collaborating, doing some things. Clinton Street Records is amazing. Shout out to Jared, who blessed me with some vinyl when I went out to Honolulu, Hawaii, and did a set out there recently. My favorite record store that is no longer here, 360 Vinyl. Shout out to DJ Kez. And then, of course, the OG Music Millennium is a wonderful space.
Your prominent support for independent underground artists is really well represented in your work. Are there any... are you currently excited about anything in particular? Are you pursuing any kind of angles and avenues?
Nothing specific right now. I so appreciate the creatives and the artists who have trusted me with their voice and trusted me with their art and allowed me to share what they've done with different platforms. There are so many just amazing creatives here in Portland that I've had a chance to build with over the years and continue to have relationships with. And, you know, it's nice to be able to sit back and watch these careers continue to grow. A lot of the familiar names, Matt Randall, of course, Wynn, who is probably not going to be an independent artist much longer, Mike Capes, Hanif, you know, some of these, Kay Wayne is a young man who I just did an interview with. I'll be dropping an episode of Cliff Notes with him very recently. And his story is amazing when you think about his journey and what he's doing now. Being a mentor for young people is really beautiful. Those are some of the names, but yeah, so many creators.
You know, when looking you up, and I did, because I wanted to get a little, I looked you up, I Googled you.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no virtual avenue you haven't made your mark on. It's impressive. Every platform, every good platform, there is a little Cliff in it. And you've been doing your podcast, Cliff Notes, yes, since 2014, every single month. That's really impressive, that level of dedication. Do you have to be super organized to keep up with everything that you're doing?
The short answer is yes. You know, many hands make light work. The reality of it is, it's a passion. It's a labor of love, and it's when you have the responsibilities of a 9-to-5 and a family, and it's really difficult to find ways to ask people to come in and help with some of that. So a lot of it has been a lot of heavy lifting on my own. There are definitely people who have been very kind and gracious with their time along the way. X-Ray being one of those platforms, being able to DJ with Ambush on a regular basis to feed that part of the passion, building with DJ OG1 for things like the community and presentation of opportunities for youth. Versatile provided me the opportunity to DJ for him in terms of the live show piece. So there are definitely other people who have shared their platforms with me, but the creative process has been something that I have really done somewhat solo.
That's really interesting because you are a brand as well as a person. and there is that balance.
Yeah.
We recently talked about my mantra, which is be the change you want to see.
Yes.
And
yes,
on your website, you talk about to serve your community selflessly and to be used as a vessel for the highest purpose, which is to spread love.
Yeah.
And I really love that. Yeah. I really appreciate that because it adds such a genuine element to everything that you do. And
yeah,
you come across as an incredibly genuine person.
Right.
Does it ever get exhausting, Cliff, is my question.
It does, you know, but I realize that, you know, it's worth it. You know what I mean? It's worth it to me because I love what you say, be the change that you want to see, because I do believe that, you know what I mean? And I believe in putting in the work. But at the end of the day, I am a human being and there are moments where I have to just sit and be still. And refill my cup, which is something that I talk about often. And I do that by surrounding myself with good people, positive energy, higher frequencies.
Never more than now is, I don't think there's anybody that's happy. I think everyone is feeling a degree of something, no matter what end of the spectrum, politically, economically, socially you might be. No one's feeling comfort at the moment. And it's really hard to find a balance with not being able to affect change on a grand level, but the reminder is always, you can do something in your own little corner of the universe.
Absolutely.
Even if it's just to level set yourself. I think Sun Ra talked a bit about that, you know, about centering yourself in the universe and understanding that you can affect change even if it's just a small ripple throughout your little span of reality.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's one of the, I love that you say that because I think that's one of the things that we could all take a moment to remember. The ask of me is to leave good footprints. The ask of me is to try to be a positive influence on my community. And my community can be you and I sitting here right now. It can be the number of individuals who are in this store. It can be the number of individuals who listen to the radio show that I do every week, right? But whatever my community is, just show up and be good for that community. And that impact can be powerful. And I think if we all could focus on it that way, then, you know, it sounds cliche-ish, would it make the world a better place?
It would. The mammalian instinct in all of us is be scared of things we don't understand and be negative before positive. And the sentient part of us that we've learned over many generations is that we have to be better, that we need to use our moral compass. Yeah. And that's the hardest struggle.
Yes.
And I
yes.
think right now, especially in this country, I'm seeing that diametric opposition between the two.
Yes.
You know, when I think about hip hop, there's almost, for me, who's maybe not, you know, probably not as engaged as you are, there seems like there's been an ebb and flow over generations of the way that people come to hip hop and the styles and the themes that are imbued. Have you seen that as well, or is that maybe more my understanding of the genre?
No. I think that you make a good observation there. I think there's always been different approaches to the art form, and I think it's also important to remember that when we talk about hip hop, that we want to make sure that we remember that there are different elements of hip hop, right? And so we're here in Benchmark right now, and Ambush is playing some hip hop music. That's a part of it as a DJ, the records that he's playing, we're getting to hear an MC. That's a part of it, right? And then we get to see some beautiful art in here. I don't necessarily see any graffiti in here, but that's the visual part of hip hop, and we get an opportunity to see breakdancers. That's the, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there are definitely different elements. And I think throughout time, different parts of those elements have been elevated, right? Greater than others. And so in a commercial, you might see dancers b-boying. And so now that's going to introduce somebody who's watching the car commercial and they see these people. Oh, that's literally their entry into hip hop, right?
Right.
So that being said, I also think that I can remember early on where I would get frustrated because black radio wouldn't play hip hop and I didn't get it, right? And I can remember people saying that hip hop is just a fad. And I can remember feeling so frustrated. No, like, it's not a fad. Give it a chance. Play it on the radio. And then I remember when I said, whoa, pump the brakes, because there was all of this money put behind it. And I think, like we see in many forms of art, a lot of times the things that people will support and get behind are things that grab our attention. And I say that because I know that a lot of this conversation comes from the negativity that's associated with the art form, specifically the rap music. But I would say that there's always been a consistent form of the creative process where people used hip hop for at least my avenue into it, which was to peace, love, unity, and having fun. I think that's always been there. I think that sometimes we've had to dig a little deeper to find it. But I think we do now see, and maybe it's because hip hop's 50 years old now, I think we do now see a maturity and a recognition and an understanding that it is important to really put the creative talent piece forward, and understanding that the party and the extremism, it still exists, but it doesn't necessarily always need to be at the forefront, that we can celebrate the creative process. And that, I think, will allow it to continue to grow and blossom, especially for this next generation.
When I was growing up, my favorite band was Farside. And I know you recently gave away some tickets. I was gutted I didn't get any. But that was my entry. That and Public Enemy
yeah.
were kind of my entry point.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, as a foreign white girl, it didn't always speak to my reality.
Yeah.
I was a poor kid living on a farm,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
I could relate to it.
Yeah.
It was interesting. It kind of opened a door of imagination for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you ever feel like that when you come across artists that have a very different relationship with hip hop, but it sparks your understanding of who they are and where they're coming from?
Absolutely, because I think that is the example of a great storyteller. If I can pick up a book and read that book, and that book can take me to a place that I've never actually physically been, then that's the sign of a good storyteller. And I think that you can see that in all different art forms, including music. I mean, I've never been to the Caribbean, but some of the songs that the great Bob Marley sang and wrote take you there.
And that's what I love about X-Ray, honestly,
yeah.
that we can go and be a really disparate bunch of music lovers brought together by this one local radio station and held together by 100 volunteers.
Yeah.
You've been there a long time now. Does it ever get old?
It doesn't. It's interesting. So a peek behind the curtain to the listeners. Every year we get a chance to just re-up. We get a chance to say, hey, just want to check in, make sure you folks are still interested in doing your show. And that call went out recently, and I was speaking with folks and saying, it's funny to me because I never think about not doing Welcome to the Neighborhood. I never think about not being on X-Ray. It's definitely a lot of work that we all put in to create shows, to curate music, to do interviews. But the love of it and the sense of fulfillment that I get from hearing the stories that, man, that was the first time I ever heard my record on the radio, or that's the first time I ever did an interview, or all of these stories, driving down the street and seeing an X-Ray sticker on the bumper of a car, like all of those things are powerful tools to let me know that I'm making a difference in this world. But I wouldn't say it gets old.
I feel like we're kind of misfit toys.
Yeah. And how dope is that, right? Yeah. To be the misfits, to be the ones that don't fit in, to be the ones that are a little bit different. Like that's pretty cool.
Yeah, truly. Yeah, yeah. Because it means you can lean into your weirdness.
No doubt. For sure.
Favorite music venue?
Ooh.
Now you can go for acoustics or just the general feel of it, or maybe it's that sprung dance floor that just gives you that little edge when you're bouncing. I don't know.
Here in Portland, there are so many venues that have so much character. I love the White Eagle Saloon, but that's probably more, that has a lot to do with just my relationship with them, having the opportunity to do so many shows there. You mentioned the Bouncing Floors. I love the Crystal Ballroom, and a lot of that has to do with the history of that, like when you look into the history of that place, mm-hmm. what happens now, and if people, years ago saw what was happening now, they would not, the Roseland, just because, the story, the Prince story?
I don't.
When they had the Sold Out Music Festival, they brought Prince. And the story is told that Prince was like, yep, I'll do the show there, but you got to paint all the walls purple. And so for a long time, all of the walls in the Roseland were purple. So, I mean, like stories like that make venues really cool. The Doug Fir was just such a cool, such a cool vibe, such a cool venue there. Oh my gosh, I could go on and on. The Star Theater is such a, and again, the history of the Star Theater. I'm getting ready to go to one of the candlelight shows at the Old Church.
I've seen a number of things at the Old Church. I've seen the free lunch one or concerts. I've seen the Antlers there. I've seen Mushrooms that were played at the Old Church. It's a fantastic venue.
Yeah, I haven't been there yet, so I'm excited to go check that out. Yeah.
Truly. I saw Flying Lotus at Roseland.
At the Roseland, yeah.
I struggled a bit there. The acoustic, it wasn't the right venue for him. It was too limiting. Yeah. I felt like it was like putting Mozart in a matchbox.
No doubt.
I kind of skirted around the question about the ebb and flow of hip-hop. And I'm kind of curious, there's moments where I feel like there is a conversation about cultural appropriation that none of us want to talk about, but I think is sort of sitting on the edge. And I want to just put it out there and say, there's moments where I'm driving down the street and I see this white guy in a car, and he's slamming out some hard beats, mm-hmm. and he is screaming the lyrics at the top of his lungs. And I'm like, you have no... To my perspective, you have no understanding of what those lyrics really mean. And I kind of wonder that sometimes, like, is there a line where some people, maybe it's not for you?
Wow.
I know. I don't know how to ask that kind of question. It's a difficult one. And I just feel like I want to just ask it and see where we go with it,
Yeah. I think depending on who you ask, you're going to get a different question. And I think depending on the season in which you ask, you're going to get a different answer. My thought would be everything that we do, we should do with a great level of respect. And I think if you start there, then I think the idea of taking part in different parts of culture can be looked at through a very, very clear and positive lens, right? So very specifically, mm-hmm. we know that hip hop was created by the Black and Brown community. And when you look at the what was happening civically when hip hop was created, then you can understand why there is a certain tone that is associated, has continually been associated with hip hop. within that, there's certain language that's used culturally within the Black and Brown community. And that's reflected in songs that are written and recorded that are then performed that the crowd will sing along. So when someone can respect that there are certain things that I just don't say because I'm not a part of that culture, then to me that is being a part of the culture but respecting the culture. People who say that they don't understand why they can't say certain things where that to me is where it becomes disrespectful.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I occasionally do the C-bomb because I have one. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I know that people have a very strong opinion about the C-word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in Britain, we don't so much. Mm-hmm. We've desensitized it, yes, by kind of taking it back.
Yes.
And I wonder if that's the same kind of relationship. It's you're diffusing the meaning of it by debasing it so much that it no longer really has the same meaning it once had.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, A Tribe Called Quest wrote a song and the name is Sucka N-Word. And they talk in the song about taking the power back. But if there's anything I think that's being used to hurt and harm a culture, and that culture takes ownership of it and says, I'm not going to let you use that to hurt and harm me anymore, then I think that's how beautiful is that for a culture to do that. But once that happens, if you're not a part of that culture, you got to respect that. And you got to say, okay, that's not mine to use anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, I think beyond that, I think hip hop, like all art forms, is also very welcoming and very open arms. You know, as I said, even though hip hop was created by Black and Brown culture, one of the most celebrated rappers in the history of hip hop is Eminem. And he has shown that he has an understanding. Shoot, let's just bring it home. And this, you know, if you're local, you might feel some kind of way about this, but Wynn, who is from Lake Oswego, is absolutely one of the dopest MCs. She's a white female. But when you talk to her, you understand the respect that she has for the culture. In one of my first interviews that I did with Wynn, it was one of the things that she offered up, that she recognized her place. And then she also talked about how she studied the art form, how she put in the work. So she knows, like as we started talking about, she knows the impact that Kool Herc had. She knows the battles that other MCs, who were, you know, Black MCs, mm-hmm, female MCs had coming. So, you know, in a situation like that, do you say that that's cultural appropriation? Or are you saying, no, this is someone who respects the culture, mm-hmm, and chooses to use her God-given gifts and talents to represent the culture at a high level?
I don't know what it is about you, but you've got a very magnetic personality. Whenever you and Ambush are in a room, I always feel like, I just kind of want, they're the coolest people in the room. I kind of want to hang around with them. What are they doing after this? Is it weird if I just follow them?
That could be a little weird.
Yeah, I think it might be a little weird. You know, one of the questions I ask a lot of people is, if you could only listen to one artist for the rest of your life, like whenever you wanted to put music on, it's just this one artist, which artist would that be?
First name that comes to mind is Sam Cooke. Growing up, my father loved listening to quartets. I grew up in a my mom and dad were both there in a very loving Christian home. And so I was exposed to Sam and the Soul Stirrers early on. And as I became older and started listening to music and saw his story and how he, though continued to have love for God, love for the Creator, he also expanded his career and made music that wasn't directly related to glorifying God, but made really, really good music. But his gift to me is, it's unbelievable, the tone and texture and warmth of his voice. And so if you told me I could only listen to one voice for the end of time, it would be Sam.
Nice. I think mine would either be Marvin Gaye.
Yes.
Slightly obsessed with Marvin Gaye, because his career really took him all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
and maybe Bill Withers.
Yes.
Because some of the lyrics that he puts out just melt your brain.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and again, those are two other individuals who, to me, sonically, you kind of feel the warm hug of their gift. Yeah.
Last question: where do you see Portland in 20 years? All right, where do you see Portland in 10 years?
Well, my thought went, maybe we should start with 20 days. With this fool. Yeah.
When I first moved to Portland years ago, I moved here from New Orleans. And I remember coming to Portland thinking, wow, this is a cool little city. So clean. And and I think Portland, to me, is heading back in that direction. I think when we see the interest in companies coming back into the city and wanting to build and revitalize. And I think when we see places like Benchmark, who are about, let's find local companies and let's create places where people can gather and come together. I see it heading back there. I think in the next 20 years, Portland will once again be this place where people do want to come and gather. And just like you were talking about with the record stores, like, I want to come digging in Portland. Shout out to Rev Shines, who has amazing stories about artists coming into Portland just to dig for records, you know. That's where I see. I'm very, very optimistic about the future of Portland. And I think that, self-serving or not, man, I think organizations like X-Ray FM play a really, really big part in that, because we have the opportunity to tell people literally all over the planet about how dope a city this is.
Truly. I've been here now for coming up to 9 years. I've seen quite the change. I really struggled the first couple of years. We live downtown. It's not, doesn't really have a kind of center for a community hub. But I made the decision to engage. I got involved with volunteering. I decided to pull English Ivy to stick it to the empirical man by ripping out his gosh darn weeds every weekend. Yeah. And really just got involved in community. And it turned it around. I suddenly felt like, oh, I get it now. Portland is kind of, you know, I say this thing where Portland is a village that thinks it's a town that wants to be a city.
That part.
It's very rural. Yeah. It's very like, you haven't been here long enough, so you're probably going to leave.
Yeah.
And we'll be friends if you're here in a decade.
Yeah.
And now I've been here nearly a decade, I feel I get it. Growing up on a farm, I totally understood that rural mentality, which, and it makes it hard, but you stick around long enough and you find your people, you find your niche.
Yes.
Do you think you would ever leave Portland for somewhere else, go back to New Orleans, maybe go to the Bronx or something like that?
No, I don't see myself, I can't see myself living anywhere else. All of my family is still in the South, and there's a draw for me to be back down there. My wife, who is so gracious with her time and patience with all of the things that I do, is from Hawaii. And so there's a huge draw from her and her family to go back to Hawaii. But man, Portland is home for me.
Yeah. You recently did one of your podcasts about a Hawaiian artist, I believe.
Yeah, man. I had a chance to interview Peace 586, who's actually, he's a resident of Hawaii now. He's from Los Angeles. I was a fan of his way back in the day when he first started making music, and he's continued to create music and is now settled in Hawaii. So I had a chance to go, and he was so kind to sit. He was here in the Northwest and we began to build. But he sat with me and we had a chance to talk about his career and his transition to becoming a resident of Hawaii and what that looks like for him. In an amazing record store called Aloha Got Soul. Got a chance to spin a set there too. That was a great experience. One of my favorite episodes of the podcast.
Cliff, DJ yes. Cliff, on behalf of Talk to the Hand, on behalf of X-Ray FM, for all that you do, all that you have done and all that you will continue to do, we thank you for your commitment and your service and your consideration for all things music and the genre of hip hop and beyond, frankly.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Natasha. I know we've been trying to pin this down for a minute. I appreciate your patience, man. This has been really dope. I never get to be on this side of the microphone, so it's a little, unnerving, but you made it very, very comfortable. Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is X-Ray FM. This is Natasha Fisher for Talk to the Hand.